Each step I take, my Savior goes before me. I want to tell you something. The Bible says He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Leads me beside the still waters. That's the Lord, isn't it? He's a wonderful Savior. No matter what happens in our life, if you belong to Him, dear friends, He'll carry you through. Doesn't mean it'll always be easy, but He promised you, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The deepest, darkest days of your life, I want you to know there was a Savior by your side. Loved you. Walked with you through the valley. Dear friends, you may still be in a valley, but you're not at it alone. And every valley has a purpose. But one of these days, the Bible teaches us that every valley will be filled, every mountain will be brought low. What a time that's going to be. We'll be in the presence of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I'd like you to take the Word of God. Turn with me, please. The Gospel of John, chapter number 4. Read one of my favorite stories in the Bible. Another one of my favorite stories in the Bible. Let's stand to our feet in honor of God's Word. John chapter number 4, verse number 1. The Bible says, "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus had made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into his city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman said unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly. The woman said unto her, Sir, I see thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. I want to preach this morning on this thought. A sinner saved by grace. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for loving us. I ask You to help us today. Help me. Clear my thoughts. Lord, may everything be plain. I thank You for this story that we've read in the Bible, this truth. Lord, I pray that You'll use this to touch the hearts and lives of everybody in this place today. Our hearts have already been stirred, and we're grateful for that. In these next few moments we have together, may Christ be glorified. May our hearts be stirred, and may our lives be changed. I pray for the power of the Spirit of God to rest upon me. nor this morning. I know how much I need you. I need you to help me. I need you to empower me. I need you to strengthen me. I'm too weak and feeble and have no ability to reveal the great truths in this precious book unless you do your work through the person of the Spirit of God. And we'll thank you for what's accomplished, for it's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. We have a great story here that we read about the Lord Jesus Christ. We understand that He's leaving Judea. He's on His way to Galilee. There's no doubt that He took a route that other Jews would not have taken. They avoided Samaria at all costs. They wouldn't go through this part of the world. There was always a battle going on. The Samaritans, of course, you realize, was a mixed race. Jews were to be separated. There's three groups of people we know in the Bible. There's the Jews, there's the Gentiles, and there's the church. A Jew truthfully can't be a Gentile. A Gentile cannot truthfully be a Jew. But a Jew can be a part of the church, and a Gentile can be a part of the church. And that comes through the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we understand this morning that there were some things, especially in this day and in this time that we're reading of, that would keep the Jews from going through this area, through Samaria. But the Lord Jesus goes through this part of the world, and He goes that way on purpose. And He said in verse number 4, He must needs go through Samaria. So as we look at this story and we consider the thought, a sinner saved by grace, there's four things I want you to see. Number one, I want you to see a sovereign Lord. We see a sovereign Lord. The Bible says in verse number 4, He must needs go through Samaria. The Lord Jesus, being God, robed in flesh, knew that this woman would be there at the time that He went. He had an understanding because He is an all-knowing God. He may have been in the form of a servant and in the form of a man and had the flesh of a man, but I want you to know He was still God. And He was God robed in flesh. He became man, but He never ceased to be God. As we understand that this morning, He did not have to go the way that He did, but He went that way on purpose. And I want you to know today that He does not have to deal with you. He does not have to do the things that He does. He doesn't have to deal with you ever again after this day. But He's dealing with you, and He will deal with you, and He knows exactly what He's doing. Don't let the sovereignty of God scare you. A lot of people don't like the thought of the sovereignty of God. He's an all-knowing God. He knows all about you, and He knows everything that you need today. Dear friends, He has an understanding that we do not have because God is always previous. In other words, when I get to my tomorrow, if the Lord allows me to live, I want you to know God's already there. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is from everlasting, and He is to everlasting. God was not created, but He is the Creator. God always has existed, and He always shall exist. And dear friends, when we get that settled in our minds, in our hearts, in our soul, when we understand that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, that God already existed and He created the heaven and the earth, then we're well on our way to having a better understanding of who the Lord is. And when we see this story of a sinner saved by grace, we see a sovereign Lord. We see a Lord that knew all about what He was doing. He knew why He went to Samaria. He understood the purpose of going through Samaria. He knew this lady would be there. And by the way, He knows where you are today. He knows where your life is. He knows what's going on. He knows whether you have a relationship with Him or you do not have a relationship with Him. He is a sovereign Lord. Not only do we see a sovereign Lord, number two, I want you to see that we see a sinful person. We see a sinful person. The Bible says here, Jacob's well, in verse number 6, now Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, therefore, being wearied with His journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the 6th hour, which is high noon. So right in the heat of the day, right at the most difficult part of the day, we see that the Lord Jesus is at the well at a time when seemingly no one would be there. Because this would not be the time of day that you would go to draw water. You would go in the cool of the morning and in the cool of the evening, but at noontime was not a time when somebody would naturally go and draw water. Water at noon. It's not the time that so many came. Verse number 16. The Bible says, Jesus saith unto her, verse number 7, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus saith to her, give me to drink. Now verse 16, Jesus saith unto her, go, call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands. And he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, and in that saidst thou truly. So we see a woman that comes to the well at noon, at a time when nobody else would come. I imagine that the ladies of the city, of the town, did not like her. You can imagine that. She had five husbands, and now she's living with a man. We know that that's not what the Lord intends for His people. But we understand here's a woman that's a sinful woman. She's been married five times, now she's living with a man. And before we begin to accuse her and we begin to think about how terrible and how bad she is and think, man alive, look at all that she's done and all that she's went through, I want you to realize the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so before we can point an accusing finger at anyone else, we must see ourselves and understand that we're all sinners. There's not one of us that has not sinned. There's not one of us that are perfect in every way, form, and fashion. We're all sinners. And we see this sinful person. And we look at her life, and so many of us would look and say, you know, I wouldn't want to deal with somebody like that. I wouldn't want to look at somebody like that. I wouldn't want to talk to somebody like that. But the Lord Jesus would. And He goes to where she is. And He knows that she's going to come there. And she comes at noon because she don't want to deal with the other ladies, and they don't want to deal with her. She's been married to five men in the town. And they don't like her. No doubt her lifestyle wouldn't be the kind of lifestyle that they would want to be around. We can read between the lines and have an understanding of certain things like that. And so she comes when no one else is going to be there, in the heat of the day, in the most difficult part of the day. We see as this person comes and we understand that the Lord knew all about her. He knew about her sin. She said, I have no husband. He said, you're speaking the truth. You've had five. Now you're living with somebody. In that saidst thou truly. He knew all about her. He knew all about her life. He knew about all of her husbands. He knew that she was living with somebody. Can I remind you of something? He knows all about you today. He knows everything about your life. He knows whether you belong to Him or you do not belong to Him. He knows if you belong to Him, what you're doing with your life, if you're doing His will or you're not doing His will. He knows all about you. But we understand in this story, we see a sovereign Lord and we see a sinful person. Now I want you to see, thirdly, as we see the Savior's love. I love this story. The Bible says in verse number 7, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw drink, to draw water. And Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For His disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto Him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of Him, and He would have given thee living water. And the woman said unto Him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. He speaks with her. She questions him in these verses. He said, "Woman, give me a drink." And she said, "How come you, being a Jew, would ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria?" And then in verse number 10, he shows her who he is. He gives her opportunity to understand who he is. He said, "If thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest ask him, and he would have given thee living water." And I want you to understand that we must see Christ for who he is in order to be saved. We must understand that he is the Son of God. He is the Lamb of God. He is the Savior that died on the cross of Calvary. They nailed him to the cross. And dear friends, they nailed him there because he laid down his life. He gave his life in order that you could have life. You know what the Bible says? The Lord Jesus said in John chapter number 10, Jesus said, "No man taketh my life from me. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again." And that's exactly what he did. He laid down his life. And they buried him in a borrowed tomb. And 3 days later, he rose from the grave. And he said, "Whosoever believeth in me should not perish, but have everlasting life." You've got to see him for who he is. This world will tell you about all kinds of different gods and different religions. But there's only one Lord Jesus Christ. And he's the only way to heaven. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." If you're trying to get to heaven some other way, I want you to understand today, you'll not make it. There's only one way, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. We see the Savior's love in the fact that here's a woman, this woman of Samaria. First of all, the Jews would have nothing to do with her, but Jesus would. And he goes to her at a time of day, and he knew that she would be there at noon because he is the sovereign Lord. He knew where she would be. He knew everything about her. And we see that as he knows everything and he sees the lifestyle that she's living, I'm telling you, most preachers today and most churches today would say, "Boy, we don't want anything to do with somebody like that." But that's exactly who the Lord Jesus Christ died for. She's a sinner in need of a Savior. And he says, "Woman, I know everything about you. I know that you've been married 5 times. I know that you're living with a man. But I want you to know I love you." The Savior's love is, he sees us for who we are, and he still loves us. But she had a choice to make, didn't she? She had a choice. See, we see the sovereignty of the Lord and the fact that he knows everything about us, and he knows exactly what we need, but he doesn't force anything on us. But she had a choice to make. And she said, give me a drink of this water. Give me a drink of this water." You have a choice to make today. God knows who you are. He knows everything about you. But if you're here and you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, he's offering you a drink of living water. He's offering you a drink from a well that'll spring up into life everlasting. He's a sovereign God. He knows exactly what you need. But here's the thing. You're the one that's going to have to say, "Give me a drink." He's not going to force it on you. We're not going to force it on you. But we're offering it to you through the Word of God. The Lord Jesus loves you. Died on the cross for your sins. Promised you that if you would put your faith in Him, He would take you to heaven. That's the Savior's love, isn't it? If I were to take an interview this morning, and I would start right here with Sister Renee and go down through here and go down through every one of you that knew the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if I could take an interview with you and I'd say, "Do you deserve what you're going to get when you get to heaven? Do you deserve the life everlasting that you're having right now?" There's not one of you that would say, "I deserve it." But then I would say, "But are you glad you have it?" And every one of you would say, "Absolutely. I'm glad I'm saved." That's the Savior's love. We don't deserve it. See, that's what grace is. We get that which we do not deserve. And mercy is, we don't get that we do deserve. That's the Savior's love. Grace and mercy. And so that's what we see this morning. When we look at this lady's life and we see all this going on, we begin to think, man alive, what a wicked person, what a terrible person. I mean, not only has she been married 5 times, now she's living with the man, and this just isn't right. And boy, I tell you what, we got to steer away from her. We got to stay away from her. But Jesus goes out of his way to get to her. And that's what he did. He came out of his way. He left the portals of glory and came down into this world. And he robed himself in flesh. He took upon himself the form of a servant. He died on the cross of Calvary so that he could save you and me. He went out of his way so we could be saved. That's the Savior's love. Not only do we see a sovereign Lord and a sinful person in the Savior's love, I want to see what happened now that she trusts the Lord Jesus Christ. We see a soul winner's fire. Notice what the Bible says. Go on down with me to verse number 28. The Bible says, the woman then left a water pot and went her way into the city and said to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 39. And many of the Samaritans of the city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all things that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them. And he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and we know that this indeed is the Christ, the Savior of the world. Now I want you to notice what happened here. We see a sovereign Lord in the fact that he knew he was going to meet that woman, and he knew everything about her, and he had an understanding of her sin and her sinful life. We see a sinful person, and this woman was a sinner, and she needed a Savior. Her life was a wreck. Her life was in shambles. Her life was in ruins. I mean, she had all these things that you would look at, and you would think, boy, how terrible she is. And then we see the Savior's love, and that he did not look at her and condemn her, but he offered her a drink of a well, from the well of water that would give her life everlasting. He offered her a brand new life. And the Bible says that she took a drink of that water. We understand that. And she left her water pot. She left something that was very important for something that was even more important. Oh, there's no doubt the pot of water was important to everything, but she realized that she had something greater than water from this well. She had a water from the well of life, and she left her water pot. And then the Bible says in verse number 28 that she went her way into the city and she said, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? She told all that she knew of him. She didn't know a lot about him, but she knew enough to tell others. You know, you don't have to have a theology degree to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. You just have to know him. And if you know him as your Savior, you can tell others about him. And the Bible teaches us that she testified of him. And she went to the place where she is not welcome. She goes into the city. She talks to these men. But this time she didn't come promoting herself. This time she came and she said, I want you to know there's a man that's changed my life. And I want to tell you everything I know about him. And the Bible says, in verse number 39, many of the Samaritans believed on him for the sayings of the woman. Here she is. She just saved. I mean, we're talking about her name just been written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Ink still wet, up in glory. Woman of Samaria. The Lord knew her name. I don't. But her name's written down. And while the ink's still wet, she says, I got to go tell somebody what Jesus has done for me. And she didn't know a whole lot about him, but she told what she knew. And the Bible says that many believed because of what she had to say. But then the Bible also goes on and says, a lot of them didn't believe on because of what she had to say. They went and heard him because of what she had to say. They came to the Lord, and they listened to what he had to say, and they trusted in him. Not because of her saying, but because they were able to hear what he had to say, but they would have never come had she not went and told them. Sometimes we might win somebody to the Lord when we witness to them right there on the spot. But sometimes it may be that we witness to them and they see the change in our life, and they come to the house of God, and there they meet the Lord, and they trust the Lord Jesus Christ. This woman had a fire in her soul. And this fire was to tell people about a man that had changed her life. It wasn't just an ordinary man. It was the God man. She got people to the Lord. What a difference the Lord makes. We see a sinner saved by grace. Are you a sinner saved by grace? If the Lord were to return today, hey, if the Lord Jesus Christ, we sang that song, "When Christ Shall Come." If the Lord Jesus Christ were to return today, would you go to be with Him? If death were to come by your door today, none of us are planning on dying today, but I think every one of us realize that we could die today. If you were to die today, are you a sinner that's been saved by grace? I think Megan the other day was on her way home, and there was a car that had hit a man down here on Hillsborough Avenue. He's 24 years old. He went out into eternity. Just like that. No more chances. Maybe he was saved. Maybe he was not. But that opportunity's over. No more chances. No more opportunities. When death comes, dear friends, you're either ready or you're not. There's no purgatory. There's no second chance. There's no waiting cell. For the believer, absent from the body is present with the Lord. But for the unbeliever, you'll be like the rich man who in hell lift up his eyes. Are you ready? He said, but you don't know anything. Look, I don't care how good you think you are, or I don't care how bad you think you are. The Lord Jesus knows everything about you. And He died on the cross to save you. You have to, by faith, you have to, by faith, trust Him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. If you're not saved today, you don't have the promise of a tomorrow, and God may never give you another opportunity. If you are saved, have you left the water pot? Are you telling others about what the Lord Jesus has done for you? Are you being a faithful witness? Did you witness to somebody about the goodness of God in your life this week? Did you tell somebody about Jesus this past week? Oh, I know we're busy. I know life's difficult. But I want you to understand, we're never too busy to tell people about the Lord. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, we love You, and we know how much You love us. We see the story of this woman of Samaria. And Lord, there's no doubt we see ourselves in this story, not in all the things that she had done, but Lord, we realize that we're sinners. Lord, I want to thank You for the day when You offered me a drink of living water. Lord, and I took that drink. Lord, I want to thank You for the day that I received Jesus Christ into my life. Trust Him as my Savior. I pray for those that may be here today without that promise, without that assurance. I pray that this day they would come to an understanding of how much You love them and how You want to save their soul and promise them a home in heaven. Lord, we have so much to live with. But Lord, I pray that You'll help us to have something to live for. Help us to live for Christ. Help those of us that are saved, Lord, to realize that we have a responsibility to tell others. Help us realize the most important thing we can do is to bring others to Christ with our lives. And we'll thank You and praise You for all that's accomplished. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I do pray. With heads bowed and eyes closed as the piano begins to play this morning, if you're here today and you say, "Preacher, I've made that decision."